Genesis chapter 29, we're going to read verses number 17, and we're going to read down through chapter 30, and we'll probably end there in verse number 1. The last several weeks, you folks know this, I think I've got about three more weeks left of this series. We're dealing with the toxic believer on how that particular person, or it could be a group of people as well, it doesn't have to be identified just to one person, it can be people. They can be, if they have any type of toxicity within them, they can cause a lot of pollution to the church. And we know what pollution does. It's not very good for the system. So tonight, we are going to be dealing with one that a lot of us might really struggle with this tonight, and that is jealousy. And we're going to see this in chapter number 29. We're going to specifically deal with Rachel and Leah, and what took place, just a little bit as what led up to it. Then we're going to go into what took place after the fact they were married to the same man. So let's begin reading verse number 29, chapter 29, verse number 17. Let me get this here. It says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service, which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel's daughter Bilhah his handmaid to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Verse number 1 of chapter number 30 says this. It says, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to gather here today. I pray that you just watch over us, guide and protect us as we go through this word, your word. And Lord, I pray that you just allow my voice to get through the remainder of this evening. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Thank God for water. I really need it sometimes. This evening, we will discuss what is another form of a toxic believer. And if you haven't gotten it, it is this. It is jealousy. We're not talking about a romantic jealousy, although this is mentioned right here at this point in time between two women with a man. I'm not going to be dwelling on that particularly. Instead, we are talking about the kind that makes us think that another person's advancement threatens our standing or position in the church. This is where you have a lot of problems with inside these four walls here. Instead of fighting our common enemy, the devil, we are fighting among ourselves because of the green-eyed demon of jealousy. That's one of the nicknames for jealousy here. Webster defines jealousy as an unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. You kind of just read this here just a little while ago. Was not Rachel envious, as it said in verse number 1 of chapter 30, that her sister was bearing children to Jacob? She was jealous of the fact that her womb was closed and Leah's womb was open. So she was wanting what someone else has. We see this in the story of Rachel and Leah, which was a train wreck from the very get-go. What goes around is the old saying, what goes around and comes around is the old saying. You can probably say, when you think about this, go back to what we talked about a few weeks ago when we dealt specifically with Jacob. And that was, he was known as, the Bible tags him as the deceiver. And we talked about that, the deceiver, or we gave another name for it, the pretender. So you could almost say that Jacob, in a sense, had this coming to him. Well, I don't wish this upon anybody else, to be honest with you. Think about what Jacob went through. Working for 7 years for a woman that he thought that he was going to marry, but at the end of the day, it wasn't the woman that he desired to be with. Think about the rejection that Leah felt during that time. So then he goes on, he works another 7 years. You think about what he put in there. Most people, when they get to year 2025, they're thinking about retirement. Jacob here, he's done 14 years of hard time, it looks like. But let's continue to go on. So we dealt with this a few weeks ago. And it didn't work out well for him because we saw what took place. We saw that his brother Esau hated him. We saw that Jacob had to leave the presence of his mother. And if we were to interpret scripture right during that time, it's left us to believe that Jacob never saw his mom again. So he had a great difficulty in life at this point in time. Uncle Laban gave Jacob, as you begin to think about this, Uncle Laban, I like to title him that because that's what he was, gave Jacob a taste of his own medicine. For he had only one woman in mind, and that was Rachel. Jacob had one woman in mind, that was Rachel. His deal with Laban was working for him for 7 years, and when that was done, the wife, as I said a little while ago, did not happen. He desired her, but it did not happen. It wasn't until after the relations had been made. Jacob had a woman for a wife that he didn't even desire. Leah was his wife, but his love for Rachel was so deep within that it could not go away. And so he decides to go make another deal with Laban and say, "Hey, Laban, dude, you really messed me up here. You gave me a woman that I didn't want to be with, and I truly love your other daughter, Rachel. I've loved her from the get-go. I haven't stopped loving her, and I'm willing to do exactly what I did for Leah for another 7 years for Rachel." And so he did those things. And after that was said and done, Rachel became his wife. I began to think about this a little bit ago, or I should say a little bit ago, earlier this week, about the problems of men during this time having multiple wives. This wasn't the first time we hear of a man having two wives or three or four wives at this point in time. You can go back to the book of Genesis, which is what we're in already, but you can go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 23, and you'll hear of a man named Lamech, who was a man who had two wives. Polygamy, as we dealt with a few weeks ago, well, just a tad bit, polygamy was practiced heavily throughout the Old Testament. And because it was practiced, it led to many problems as well. You think about, we go over the story of David. David was a man after God's own heart. But what did David have a problem with? David had a problem with keeping his eyes upon his own wife. And then he desired another man's wife, had relations with her, and then he decides to bring this man to the hottest part of the battle to have him be killed. It causes a lot of problems. And you can go on and you can look at Solomon, who had 1,000 wives, if my memory serves me correctly, and tons of concubines. I'm thinking to myself, dude, you're crazy. Why would you put yourself in such a mess? And that's not saying anything against women at all by any means. But man, if you got 3 or 4 or 5 wives, how are you going to make one feel the most special? There's got to be a constant jealousy that's going back and forth. And we see this in this chapter. And you got to sit there and think, well, he loves her more than he loves me. And then the other wife's saying the same thing. And then there's just this big competition that's taken place. And so polygamy has led to a lot of problems. So in the marriage of two sisters, as the story we're talking about, with the same husband, you can only imagine the problems that will occur. That problem didn't take time to arise. And that problem was jealousy. Jealousy destroys so much. I'm going to give you something here. Jealousy is the driving wedge between individuals. It is what is used to separate friends, family members, and things of that nature. I can remember growing up and having friends here at the school. And I told you, I just met with a good friend of mine this past Saturday that I kind of grew up with, came to school here, and was one of the, you know, we're just best friends all the way through high school. And then here comes college after high school. He goes a different direction, and I go a different direction. But we never really connected after high school. One thing that we always did, and we still do to this day, is every time his birthday comes around or my birthday comes around, we always shoot each other a text. Or we give each other a phone call or an email, things of that nature. But as I was sitting there talking with him this weekend, I began to remember on many different occasions where jealousy would come up in that friendship and it would ruin it for a period of time. You know, it could be anything that you can think of, but jealousy would ruin a friendship at this point in time. So jealousy is the driving wedge between individuals. You can say it brings a toxic level to relationships. Chapter 30, verse number 1, you see this take place. It says, and Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. I can just imagine Rachel at this point in time really just having a pity party for herself. I can just imagine her as Jacob comes into the hut or the tent or whatever they have back then. And as he walks in and he opens the curtain that's there and she's just like, Jacob, you better give me children or I'm going to die. I have a thought that's in my mind that I'm going to try to refrain from saying, but I won't. Because my thought is this. Well, I already have one wife. If the other one passes away, then so be it. I'm good. But that didn't take place. I'm just messing with you there. But we see the wedge that is starting to get driven between these two individuals. Rachel begins to become envious of her sister because Leah is able to bear children, and Rachel is unable to bear children. Now, I know that there are some folks who go through great difficulty in life, not able to bear children. And I don't understand God's thought process on this. But I do know that God has such a tremendous heart for these people. And for whatever reason, God closed up the womb of Rachel at this point in time. And she was to the point where she couldn't bear children. Here, as we go through this, it seems like this would become a competition. Because now you see Leah, she's popped out one child, she's popped out another one's coming out, and Leah and Rachel's like, man, hey, he's my husband too. Lord, I want to have children with him. I want to have what my sister's having with him. And so you can just see this competition begin to build up. Obviously, with Rachel losing at this point in time with her, she would become desperate, and she would do desperate things. Now, we didn't read most of chapter 30 because you begin to see some things take place. But I want to jump down through verse number 22. It says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go in unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. So now we see that God, as it says here, that God remembered Rachel. He opened up her womb, and she is able to bear a son. And that son was Joseph. God had looked down upon her and opened her womb for her to have children. And her first child was going to be one of the most important person in history. One of the most talked about, I believe, other than David. But Joseph is one of the most talked about in Scripture. Matter of fact, his story fascinates me. Now, I love getting to Genesis chapter 37, where this whole process begins with him and his brothers, and Pharaoh and Pharaoh's wife, and the butler, and all those other things that begin to take place. One of the most important person in history. I said just a little while ago that jealousy is a driving wedge between relationships, and it usually has an ugly outcome. You know, we might sit there and think, okay, that's all fine and dandy now. God opened up Rachel's womb. She has a child. All this should be over with. You would think that would be the case. But I need to remind you, we're also dealing with Jacob, who stole his brother's birthright right from underneath him. And I also feel sorry for Jacob in this sense, that Esau, that he can care less for his birthright. And well, anyway, that's a different story. Don't want to get into that because I have some thoughts on that. But anyway, so with this, it usually has an ugly outcome. You had two sisters who probably during this time couldn't stand to be in each other's presence. That's usually what happens when jealousy begins to develop. Let's be honest with ourselves. We don't want to see that individual. We don't want him in our presence. We don't want him in any type of gathering that we're going to be in. Nowadays, we have group texts. We don't want him in those group texts. So there's just this constant battle that's taking place. The wedge is being driven. But here I want you to see something, because it doesn't stop there, because it also affects the future generation of this family. You have heard from this pulpit on many occasions, the young people that God surrounds us with, that are in training by us, they usually act the way that they are brought up. Do they not? They will act how mom and dad has raised them. They will also act in church how the church has raised them up. So with that being said, there can be some negative outcomes on families like this. Well, Rachel had finally had the child that she desperately wanted, and then she had another one, but her jealousy, I want you to see this, her jealousy had caused division in the family. I just gave you a little hint a little while ago of what I really love to read when I get into the book of Genesis. So we're not going to take time tonight to really go over all that, but we are just going to hit just a little bit briefly on these things. So it had caused division in the family. This wouldn't at this time play in the favor of Joseph. You might think that it would, but it wouldn't play in favor of Joseph. We see that Joseph was given a coat of many colors by his father that would signify to the rest of his brothers that, hey, our dad loves Joseph more than us. He's just a young squirt. He's just a little twerp, and he hasn't proved himself yet. He hasn't really been out in the field watching over the flock the way that we had, staying up all night, doing all these things, delivering the baby cows when they come in, or the goats, or the sheep at that point in time. He's just a kid. And God and Jacob has already gotten a coat from dad. It just signifies that he's the favored one. So this would continue to be a driving wedge into this family. So this would take place years later after they all had reconciled with one another, going in the favor of Joseph. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The jealousy slash envy would cause Joseph's brothers to rise up against him to the point to where they even thought of death. Now think about this. Yeah, I grew up with two sisters and three brothers. Thank God none of us killed each other. Were there at times that we wanted to? Yes. But we never acted upon it. Well, I shouldn't say we never acted upon it. I do remember getting so mad at Wayne one time that I grabbed a steak knife. And at the time when I did, I thought it was like this big. But as I look back, it's probably this big. It's kind of like the fish stories, you know. You catch a fish and it's really this big, and you go home and tell your buddy, hey, I caught a fish this big. But I remember one time I got mad at him. It was at our old house on 20th and Avenue D. And I grabbed that steak knife, and I don't know why mom and dad would have steak knives with six kids. I mean, it's really, if anything would have happened, it would have been their fault. Because they're the one who purchased those things. It just happened to be in plain sight for me. So I picked that thing up, and I remember very specifically, I ran around the table, thinking, yeah, I'm really going to do this. I did. I ran around the table, and I was so mad I was going to throw it in his back. But thank God it never happened. You young people that are here this evening that have brothers and sisters, do not do those things, okay? It wouldn't be good for you. They have prison cells. They didn't have that back in the day when I was growing up. They had a bedroom in the basement. But anyway, they thought of even killing him. Fortunately, they settled on selling Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver and brought him unto Egypt. I want you to think about this. I'm going to give you some thought here. Joseph wasn't the only one despised and hated by others. Because when you fast forward to the New Testament, you hear of a man by the name of Jesus who was so despised by so many people, he had one within his 12 that would sell him for money as well. He was hated as well. Here's the thing that sticks out to me. Joseph, that had to take place for this reason. His selling here to the Ishmaelites was for later purposes on down the road, and that was to save a nation. During this time, God had given him great wisdom on how to really become second in command underneath Pharaoh, had the ability to think of what would take place in the future, probably very well with money. But his purpose was to save a nation. I want you to think about this. Jesus, him being sold was for this reason, to save a world. They're kind of, as you look at it, they're kind of similar. Of course, Joseph, he doesn't offer salvation, don't get me wrong on those things. But Jesus was sold to save the world. That's just a little information I just want to give out to you. Jealousy in a family and jealousy in a church is toxic. Unfortunately, it happens, and we have to deal with it. The Bible identifies jealousy as something that should be resisted. 1 Corinthians, go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 2 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? These two verses here alone let us know that the jealous person is a carnal, and write this down, because I think it's important for you to write this down, is an immature believer. I'll say it again. A jealous person is carnal and an immature believer. We all know that the devil is not our only enemy that we battle. As believers, we also fight, but we also have to fight against the human part of us, and that is the natural man being full of pride. Pride does not want to see anyone move forward or get ahead of us, which is why we get jealous. I said almost this exact statement earlier on as I opened up our message. But our sincere desire as believers should be to be what God says that we are to be. It's not our job to be jealous, as I think we dealt with gifts a while back. It's not our job to be jealous of somebody's gift, because that's the gift that God gave them. And you ought to be happy that God gave them that gift. And you ought to encourage them to use that gift. Because once you begin to be jealous of somebody's gift, what usually takes place? That driving wedge that Satan's going to use to get a brother or sister to go against each other. You know, there have been on occasions... You guys know that I'm not the most, don't laugh when I say this, the most friendliest individual. It's not my nature to go up to somebody and go, how you doing? You know, that's not me. I'm more of a guy's like, hey, what's up? Doing good? You know, that's who I am. But the guys that have that friendly smile and that friendly handshake, I'll be honest with you, in times past, I have become envious of those things. It's a gift that I wish that I have, but I don't have those things. But he has given me other gifts. He's given you gifts to be able to use. So don't let that be a driving wedge between somebody. I say this for this reason, because we should be content with who God has made us. Okay, let me say that again. We should be content with who God has made us. Jealousy among church members is one of the primary reasons that the church is unable to grow faster and to move forward as it should. You see what jealousy can do? You see the toxic levels that it brings to a group of a body of believers? It's not a good thing to have. And I have seen it on many different occasions destroy valuable relationships. I've seen it destroy churches. I've also seen it in this level as well. I've seen it destroy pastors. And it shouldn't take place. So let me read this again. Jealousy among church members is one of the primary reasons that the church is unable to grow faster and to move forward as it should. So don't become that jealous person in the church for this reason, because if you do, you will be the one that will be toxic. And nobody wants to deal with a toxic individual, plain and simple. And with you being toxic, you can be poisonous to others and ruin a church. Jealousy is the driving wedge between people. I've seen it on many different occasions. And it usually happens with humans. I've never seen animals get jealous of each other. I've seen them starving for someone else's love. True. But I've also never heard a dog talk or them think. I don't know. That's a silly illustration. But anyway. Well, with that being said, please avoid this area in your life when it comes to jealousy. Be happy for somebody that is able to do something that you are not. Be thrilled for them. And pray for them that they'll use it to the glory of God. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I just thank you for giving me the voice to be able to get through. God, I pray that you'd continue to be with our pastor. You just continue to give him strength and healing to his body. I thank you for the ones who have given of their time to be a tremendous help to him. Taking them to therapy, taking them to dialysis and hospitals, visits, and I just thank you for that. Many others have prepared meals and things of that nature. God, I just thank you for your people that are just so willing to be helped. Be with my mom. God, she's continuing to work and strengthen and heal in her body. God, be with our church family. I know there are some that are still sick, that are not feeling the greatest. I pray that you just bring healing to their body. I pray for our upcoming missions conference. Lord, right now, you just begin to prepare our hearts for the messages that we will hear in those few days. I pray that you just watch over us, bless us as we leave from here tonight. We ask it in your name. Amen.